Welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Eric Woodworth, and thank you so much, you quality people, for joining us once again. This episode, it is a banger. Boy, I'm very excited about this one. It's one of the, I know I always got to hype it up at the beginning, but this doesn't need no hype. I ain't got to do nothing because it's that dope. We're joined by the host of Paco's Got Balls, featuring Wendy Townsend, and a forefather of big-timing comedy, Eric Jolicoeur, joins us on the show this evening. It's very exciting, and it's a good one. I mean, you guys are going to fucking enjoy the shit out of this one. We also would ask you, as a kindness to us, all you great listeners there, if you haven't already, hop on the iTunes and the Stitcher and drop us a 5-star rating. Maybe a nice positive comment. It helps our feelings, and you know, they're fragile as they are. So do that to us. It costs you absolutely nothing and means the absolute world to us here. So without further ado, get strapped in, turn the volume up to 11, and get ready for Bloodsport.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
Okay, when that commercial goes out, I wanted you to make sure that you put Thunderstruck at the end of the song. She's like, I don't know if we can afford that, sir. He's like, it's okay. I have the cassette out in my car. We got it.
Nice. He pulled the classic Chris Restivo.
Of course we can afford it. I have it
already. What are you talking about? I own the CD. That means I can play it whenever I want. It's America.
By the way, did you guys not notice my cool 5-plated clothing t-shirt?
Chick. One.
No, I've never seen it before. Good.
5-plated. Yeah. No.
Oh, this is a Chris Restivo special. Do you see this?
It says live fast or die 5-plated.
Okay. I don't get it, but
neither
okay.
That's why I got it.
You know where he's selling most of his t-shirts at?
Where?
At a strip club.
Yeah. A seedy one at that.
He lives at strip clubs.
Now, is that the Millstream?
Yes.
Yeah, it is the stream of mills. That is correct.
Where
is,
many girls he might have even had intercourse with.
Ew. Yes.
It's got to be a high-quality place if Chris Restivo's laying pipe over there.
Fuck yeah, dude. He slangs the peen. He knows what the deal is. He sees the chain.
He knows the dilly, y'all.
He knows the... He's got the fucking dick slanging degree.
Is the that comedian, I don't remember her name, who faked the fact that she had cancer, is she still stripping over there?
And I don't know if our listeners know this, but there was a girl who basically told everybody she had cancer. Cancer benefits were thrown for her, didn't have cancer.
She even shaved her head,
she got
everything.
She has a tattoo, like the pink ribbon that says, I'm a cancer survivor. Which technically... is true. Uh-huh. I mean, you survived
you
cancer.
Survive
I mean,
it.
Most of us living have survived cancer in that. Definition, we could all get that tattoo.
Uh-huh. Right.
So I saw her there, and she was doing a little dance. And then I tried to come up to the thing, and it was just too weird because I felt like she knew me in real life.
Yeah.
And then she wasn't comfortable, so I backed off.
Which is not
I
the place you want. You want a female to be uncomfortable. Is it a strip club?
Yeah. Listen, what's the old... what's the old Bloodhound Gang song? The lap dance is so much better when the stripper's crying.
That's you were halfway kind of home.
There.
Does she have a hot body?
No, she has big old yam yams, but she always did, right? So they were they were exactly how I thought they would be.
I wouldn't say they were big.
Well,
but
hold on.
She's at least buxom enough.
Yeah, but you haven't seen her post kid.
Oh, okay. Maybe I have.
So she's got big old feeding melons. Yeah.
Well, some, you know, big yabos is one thing, but do they look good?
They were solid. I mean, I wasn't mad about them. Okay. I mean, I definitely looked over. She didn't like get topless. I was like, ugh, gross. I didn't hide myself from it. I was just like, oh, that's
the horror.
Ew, yucky.
Those are so floppy.
That's what I want to. I want to be guy at the strip club that just like every time there's nudity, I go, ew. That would be a good bit, right?
It
would
be. Why is it wet?
Ew! Oh!
Ew, cooties!
Narcissus Prince!
Alright.
Are we running hot?
It is. We're running hot. Welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast, everyone. We do the soft intro, where I like to get everybody on board.
That's how we
I just thought we were
vagina.
Doing a sound check.
No, that's it. No, we just start recording, man. My name is Eric Woodworth. Thank you very much once again for joining us, all you quality people out there. And tonight, we have a special guest from Big Time in Comedy, returning once again from his high hill. Eric Jolicao. Hello, Eric.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Oui, oui.
We wanted to bring an official Frenchman for our movie tonight, which is, of course, the Bloodsport, where famed national French treasure Jean-Claude Van Damme stars. So, welcome tonight, Mr. Jolicao.
Thank you for having me. I love coming over and fucking around with you guys on the podcast.
Hell
this is
yeah,
always
dude.
Good times.
I know.
Always good times.
Now I owe you one. This is how it works. You come on my show,
right?
And then immediately I get hit up to come to your show, and
absolutely.
Vice versa.
Absolutely.
It's just how the cookie crumbles, baby.
I'm sure we actually have, I need to look at my calendar here, but I'm pretty sure we have an episode coming up soon where Wendy will be occupied with her Wednesday night shows. They sometimes overlap, so I'll get on that and get you
is
in.
Is it
as
a September date? That's what I'm looking for. My September is wide open. Let me just tell
let
you.
Let me take a look.
I got nothing in September. In fact, my wife told me don't book anything, but I don't listen to those. I feel those are suggestions. We can work out one date.
Yeah, no, September, I think we're good with Wendy, but
I just did a show with. Listen, we're not going to book me on this episode. So let's like. When was the? You know, Wendy did a show with me on Thursday night.
Yeah, right in Ellicott City, right?
Yeah, right at Siriana.
Right.
They had some good stories. By the way, it was our last show at that place, Siriana. I'm very confident of it never happening again there.
Oh really? Why? What happened? Or
they
what
were
didn't
just,
happen?
The shows
My
in
man's
general.
Head got torn off.
Yes, spiked in the six-sided ring of fire.
The shows in general were lightly attended. We tried something. We wanted to do a paid cover show to get some people in there so we could pay out comics and stuff like that. So it wasn't a lot. It was like $5. But it's a newer place. It just didn't get the turnout. But what happened was this. This owner, he fucking put out a Eventbrite for the show. And it was $5 regular admission. And then it was $10 you could get VIP and table service for the show, which means, you know, you actually get a waiter that comes up to the second floor, serves you, brings your food and shit like that.
Uh-huh.
Well, these people, there was a bunch of people, like three or four people that paid the $10 ticket, unbeknownst to us. I don't even know this exists, right?
Oh, okay.
I show up the night of the show.
So wait, is this your room?
Yeah, so
or was
this
it your
me,
room?
Me, Quinlan, and I set it up.
Oh,
Michael
okay.
Quinlan.
All right, I did not know that.
Friend of the
okay.
show.
Okay,
we set it up. So these people were like, "Well, I paid an extra $10, and you're like, I paid an extra $5 to get table service, and there hasn't been any table service here." I'm like, I don't fucking run this place. I didn't set up this promotion. I don't know anything about it. I can't solve this problem for you, right? So. Is that Wendy is now getting messages, right, from people that came to the show. They're like, I don't want to complain, but blah, 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 blah. I literally messaged Wendy. I was like, Wendy, it's a difference of $5. Tell them I'll Venmo them $10 to make this problem just stop immediately. So it's been a fucking nightmare dealing with this situation. And on top of that, they're letting people in that just weren't charged for the show. Uh-huh. It was a goddamn shit show up there, and I'm so happy it's over now, and I'm free from the
there's
the constraints
nothing,
of it.
As a fellow producer, there's nothing worse than having a venue that is just not on the same page with you because yeah, you get the complaints that are related to the venue and the restaurant and the bar, and you're like, I have nothing to do with any of that. I'm just
Yes, I do understand. You come up to me and tell me that your food's overcooked. You asked for a well-done steak, and it's medium rare. I'm like, I don't fucking cook here, lady. Yeah. I do nothing but tell the fucking jokes. Do you understand? I get up here. I bring the other people to tell the jokes. Uh-huh. Sometimes I plug in a microphone. Sometimes I set up like the sound equipment. I don't do anything else. I don't buy the drinks. I don't run the specials. I don't even sell the fucking tickets. I just tell the jokes.
I'm sensing we could do a short with this sort of thing.
We
could do a short on it, a little clip video short, and we just need to come up with the most ridiculous complaints.
But the idea,
what's a bad sign? Is that when the venue has the doorman is like the owner's 5-year-old son, and he barely even counts the money to take a cover. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
By the way, show tonight, $5. Like, well, here's the money. Oh, this is just paper with crayon on it. Yeah.
I've had people come to a venue that we have, and it begins with an S, and they've showed up with tickets that they've bought for a completely different date. And they got it on like and they got it through what's it where you get like the
StubHub?
No, you get the discount where it's like you buy one get one.
Groupon.
There you go.
And they're Groupon people. And people always tell me you should do Groupon, and I'm like, no, I shouldn't. I've done that before, and dealing with Groupon people is the worst people to deal with because they've already gotten a discount, but they all of a sudden feel like they're part of this VIP club. And then they come in, and then they want all this stuff.
No, but I want Groupon. I want the special that's also with Groupon.
Yeah, and
I'm like, no, bitch. The special was the Groupon.
The Groupon.
That was it.
You got a free ticket. Like, you got in for cheap. You're not a VIP. Like, you paid less.
Mr. Eric, I think your name is Eric. If you read the fine print at the bottom of my printout from home, it actually requires exactly 2 piggyback rides to and from the show to my seat.
Oh, God.
And also free mani-pedi. So if you could hook that up.
Yep.
So, for life.
Fucking Groupon.
By the way, this other voice that you're hearing to the left of me here is none other than my blood and my brother, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth. Jeremy, how are you doing, sir?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, who is joining us on the show this evening?
That's right, it's me, Lance Henriksen.
Oh, it's Lance Henriksen,
Good old Bishop, you know.
Yeah, what brings, why Lance Henriksen tonight?
Because I met him today.
Oh, okay, you met him in New Jersey.
And I got a shout out.
Hell yeah, dude.
And he says, you don't even need to know what movie's in. I'm in the greatest movies ever.
Yeah, I was in the show Millennium. You ever seen that? It was like the X-Files, but much more demon-y.
If you remember the old movie Dog Day After the Noon, he actually shoots Fredo at the end. So, even though it's not Fredo.
Well, Fredo is a racial
term
now.
That's not good to say that.
Don't go throwing around the F word now.
You can't do that.
You can't just call people Fredo anymore. That's
Wait, is it because he's a tranny?
No, have you not seen the Kumo video yet, Jeremy? Have you seen
Yes, I saw it. He seemed to be upset for some reason.
Yeah. No, I love this. You know what? I'm going to pull up the audio for this because, honestly, I've never really liked Kumo before, but this... I enjoyed the fuck out of this.
You know,
my
favorite song is, of course, Fredo and the Nine Fingers.
Fredo and the Nine Fingers and the gambling problem. That's how you end up with nine fingers if you're Italian, actually. It's a little known.
Taking off digits at a time.
Little known fact. Hold on, wait.
I'll throw you down like a punk.
Yes, Chris Kuba.
With the music.
I thought that's who you were.
No, punk ass bitches from the right call me Fredo. My name is Chris Cuomo. I'm an anchor on CNN. Fredo is from The Godfather. He was that weak brother.
I'm smart. I think everybody says. Like dumb. I'm smart and I want respect.
Isn't that your?
And they use it as an Italian aspersion. Any of you Italian?
I'm a little Italian.
Insult to your people.
But don't ever take sides with anyone against the family again.
It's an insult to your people. It's like the N-word for us.
Damn guineas really make me laugh.
Is it really the N-word? Is it the
Can't
N-word?
Can't possibly
for...
be. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't heard from many people. I've never heard Italians walking around, what's up, Fredo?
You know what I mean?
What if I call you? I called you Frida. It's a completely different. I did an A. I wouldn't drop the O on you.
But the other thing, too, is you can't be like, oh, he called me the F word. It just doesn't work.
All I have to say is,
Fredo, please.
I like it. Like, one day we're going to have to say the, like, you know, they said the F word. Faggot? Fuck?
Yeah. Oh, he called Fredo. You a fucker?
Oh, okay. Fredo. Oh, okay. Oh, fairy? Oh,
fairy?
Fairy, you can't say that, right? Like, these are all F word. Is, does F...
Fun ghoul.
Is the F word have the most words you can't say, right? Like,
right.
F, fun, like, fag, fuck, Fredo, and now, and fairy, right?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And Fugazi.
Yeah, those Fugazi.
The, you can't say those, right?
I'm convinced that any racial person.
I don't know, but this is going to be a good take. That's all I know.
Any race can be turned into a racial slur just as soon as you add the word fuck to it.
Yeah.
And then it's a racial slur instantly.
Yeah.
So, fucking Eskimos.
Yeah. Yes. So. You fucking Native American. Yeah, that sounds bad.
Oh,
that sounds much worse.
Yeah. Fucking white boy.
So. Yeah. How dare
you call me a white boy?
You fucking privileged Caucasian fuck. Now it's a racial slur. That's it. Okay, no, Jeremy, not a bad take. I was a little bit apprehensive at first.
Speaking of Caucasian, Jeremy, I think yours is spreading. You're getting extra white under your neck there.
This is actually a clown makeup that didn't get washed off.
Oh, okay.
Hey, when you live the life, you know, you don't just take it off, right? The difference with me is I wear my makeup all the time.
Well, you know, when you come from, a kid's party or a dungeon somewhere after having a good night's party and... You know,
after I get done calling a bunch of wops guineas, I like to come home and wash my clown makeup off.
Real slowly, like.
Yeah.
You just didn't
even...
That's
the difference with me.
You just didn't even notice that I said the word dungeon.
Yeah, I did.
Sorry.
We got it.
I just love Sean Cunningham and his book series.
So Jeremy, you're fresh off of Monster Mania up there. Quality Time slightly funded this endeavor.
Yes.
So give us some stories. What happened at Monster Mania this year?
This is probably the worst Monster Mania I've ever been to. I barely made any money, so I couldn't really pay for anybody to get pictures with or anything. If I really wanted to try, I'd actually pay a celebrity for like a shout out. And I literally only got two celebrities. It was the gosh worst heated place I've ever in my life. Like, literally, I go to the bathroom, I try to wipe down over and over again just so I can get my makeup on, and as soon as I'm out on the floor, it's just like a river down my fucking face.
Just the HVAC not prepared for thousands of people, right?
And more than that, it was already hot outside, but at the same time, I'm dying. If you could see me in the video, it's like
you didn't
fucking,
look great.
Where was this?
You looked. You
it's
looked
up in New Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
He looked like soft serve on a 99 degree day. It was not good. I honestly, it looked like somebody needed to lick Jeremy because he was dripping.
I've never had so much makeup in my eyes so that I can barely see. And
you know, the best part is being blinded while this is all happening.
I got to get the shout out from Lance Henriksen. He was very nice, and my buddy Edward X, who's the ultimate in schmoozer, kind of helped me get that as well. I almost got to Kane Hodder didn't come back early enough today, so I was going to try to get him a t-shirt and try to get a shout out from him, but he never came on time. I already left by the time he wasn't even there yet. I tried the kid who plays Elliot in E.T., but he probably wanted money, and he gave me an excuse. Like, they don't really want me kind of doing this thing. But and the other shout-out, and the best I could do was Chatterbox from Hellraiser.
Hell yeah.
I think his name is Vincent something. He's not one of the top. Did I ever get Doug Bradley before?
We did. We used to use Doug Bradley for a long time. Doug Bradley of Pinhead fame. He actually said, "This is Doug Bradley, and you're listening to Quality Time. And you're going to keep listening to Quality Time, or I will tear your soul apart."
That's good.
It was good. He gave us a
solid
one.
I like that.
Not as good as our Crypt Keeper. Our Crypt Keeper intro is still our best one. Have you ever heard the Crypt Keeper
intro? I don't
think
I have.
Check this little ditty out. Jeremy, tell us some more about that. I'll pull up Crypt Keeper for him.
About John Cassier?
Yeah, well, just about Monster Mania this weekend.
Let's see. I met a new director, and of course, just by accident, the hotel room he was staying at, he's actually from Harford, and his name was Benjamin J. Baker, and I forget which movie he said he made.
Wait, he invited you to his hotel room?
No, I was hanging out with my... There's a super nerdy... when I say nerdy, I'm talking like Potsy proportions. His name's David Sitbon.
Well, I like David Sitbon. He's a good dude, man. He's a cool dude.
He's very nice. He's extremely nerdy, but at the same time, I got a new respect for Sitbon because I find out that he's playing with dead bodies day in, day out.
Oh, nice. Boy.
He's not an ME, but he helps the ME. He's probably carrying a brain to the weight tray and everything.
I think we have very different ideas of what the word cool stands for.
Well, when I say like a really weird and cool job.
That is a weird and cool job.
Now, wait, listener, Matt Cannon used to be a mortician.
Yeah, and so did a former host of this show. Actually, Kimberly Ambrose runs the Ambrose Funeral Home.
She's running that now.
Well, she's either that or heir apparent. So she will take over the family biz. So hey, here's Greg Kassir, the voice of the Bookkeeper. Here's
John Kassir.
John Kassir. He did a great shout out for the show. Listen to this. I don't think I've ever played this in its entirety.
Greg Kinnear.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, John Kassir, the voice of the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast. Towson represents.
He is from Towson, by the way.
Oh, yeah, he's from Towson guy, yeah. Look at that.
That's fucking cool,
I wanted him to say that because, you know, it is a Baltimore show.
Now, do you have video of that or is it just audio?
It's just audio.
Man. We just got audio of it, but we play that at the beginning of every episode for probably the last, like, 4 or 5 months.
That's awesome.
He likes his Adrian Barbeau one, too.
Yeah, I like the Adrian Barbeau. She did a great job. I like it because she calls it Quality Time Broadcast. So she doesn't get the show right, which I like even more. We don't deserve the high level of shout out that a Big Time in Comedy, for instance, gets.
Oh, we don't get that kind of shout out. We don't have the Crypt Keeper giving us love.
Yeah, dude. But you deserve Crypt Keeper love.
Yeah.
I believe that.
I appreciate that. We work hard.
I made a new friend which was already on Facebook, but it's very much obvious that she is a he, because he's definitely I don't want to trash talk him. I don't want to.
So you have a trans friend.
I have a trans friend, and I hate to say, I kind of let him on once because I said, "Who doesn't love show tunes?"
Oh, he took that one, didn't he? He took the bait.
So you have a new trans friend that you made.
I had to confess that I'm so old I didn't even know that tranny was a bad word now.
Yeah.
And he's like, and he did give me this look like, and it's like, it's trans. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't care to think about these things. If I'm not up to par, just fill me in. I'm not trying to be an asshole.
Yeah, you're not trying to be, you know, offensive. It's just...
Right. Yeah. So, either way.
All right. We do have a couple of Joe Robinson's corrections.
Hey, Joe Robinson. Do you have any corrections for us this week on Quality Time?
Okay, Joe Robinson's corrections. All right, this is from August 6th, and I believe this is the Hitcher episodes, Jeremy, that we're getting into here.
Well, that's right.
Big trouble comes with Little China. That's a quote by Jeremy Woodworth.
Big trouble comes with Little China. Yes, it does.
That was a quote by Jeremy Woodworth. He just wanted to point out. I don't even think we need to correct that. I think we know the rest.
Yeah, but he doesn't. You know, that is the real working title, but it was all midgets.
So then... during that episode, we were also talking about Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, and when they re-released Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, they released it as just Punch-Out, sans Mike Tyson, and that the final guy was Mr. Dream. I said that Mr. Dream was a dude that wore a pink mask and had a star on it. incorrect. Joe Robinson found the picture and screenshotted it for me.
Wow.
It said no pink mask. It was Mr. Dream. He just looks like a standard white dude. So I've lost. He actually just looks like the Mike Tyson guy, but he's white. Like, literally, this is white Tyson. Do you see that? That's white.
Oh, wow.
Mike Tyson from Punch Out right there.
And what was
he's huge.
What was Mr. Sandman? Was that Super Nintendo?
No, Mr. Sandman was in the original, but he was also in Super Punch Out. They were in both games.
Okay.
There were many crossover people. Mr. Sandman was in Super Punch Out. Also, so was Bald Bull. He was a guy from the original.
Oh, of course.
There was also
Shaft.
Soda Popinski, wasn't it? There's one more. Oh, Piston Honda. Piston Honda was another guy that had made both games.
I tell you what, if Punch Out came out now,
Super Macho Man.
It would not pass. It is ethnically very
The fact that the guy Tiger the Indian guy who's just like, I'm a master of the mystic. By the way, there's
him
a lot of
Piston
things.
Honda is also a little
dude. There's a lot of things from the 80s that are not kosher with today's standards.
Yeah.
I mean, for instance, C. Thomas Howell. Also, Joe Robinson made it a point of how many times I called him Thomas C. Howell in the Hitcher episode. I don't know if I've neglected to mention that, but he was halfway through the episode and he goes, it's six so far. So and that was his last correction of the episode. Now, no, but do you guys realize, like, just the movie Short Circuit? Are you familiar with Short Circuit?
Oh,
Eric?
Absolutely.
He's the best Indian actor ever.
Yeah, the guy who plays the Indian guy is like, Johnny Five. That's just a white dude. Do you realize that's just a
Are
white
Are you shitting me?
That's just a white guy who's playing that
I'm pretty sure he's Jewish.
The whole movie. Oh, God.
Interesting.
So,
Wasn't he also in Real Genius?
I believe so. Yeah.
Or no, I'm thinking of maybe my science project. Anyway, those movies are one and the same to me. So
hey, get this. The guy who played Balky from Perfect Strangers, not really a foreigner either. Can you believe
For
that?
For real.
Yeah.
You're slowly ruining my childhood memories.
But would you like it with a lemon twist? Sure, so why'd you set that up? I'm a donkey. Yeah.
Man.
I have cases. So that's Joe Robinson's corrections for the week. Boys, are we ready to get into tonight's film?
Yes.
Man.
Oh, boy. I know you are.
I'm frothy.
I'm so fucking
did
wet.
You choose this?
I did not, no. And I can't say that I have actually seen it until I woke up this morning.
Wow.
And immediately didn't even get out of bed, just rolled over and put on.
Did Balls choose it? Paco's got Balls.
No, I did not choose this.
I chose it for you guys because I figured it fell in your wheelhouse of movies that you'd be into.
Totally.
Primarily, we do a lot of action. We don't do a ton of action movies. We usually go for a pulpy aspect for most of the films that we choose. And it just so happens that those pulp films happen to be, what's the word I'm looking for? Horror films for the most part. But I like a real good bad action movie.
Yeah, and this, absolutely.
God, this is right in the wheelhouse of it.
Before you start, you're not holding back on releasing the name yet, are you?
No.
Okay, so I immediately went to the TV and I didn't know what avenue I was going to use to watch it. So I went to Netflix. I'm already paying for it, and I searched Bloodsport.
Yes.
And the top six. Responses that I got, and you're going to love this. The first one was Kickboxer, Retaliation. The second option, or number two, was Kickboxer 2, Revenge.
Hell yeah.
Number three was Lady Bloodfight, which is an American who travels to Hong Kong in hopes of winning a lucrative but potential deadly all-female underground fighting tournament. Sounds familiar.
All-female.
Yeah.
Right? Number four, IP Man.
I like IP Man.
I never even heard of it.
It's great. Jet Li. Jet Ally.
And occupying Japanese general challenges Chinese men to prove the superior, or to fights to prove superiority over the Japanese, but IP Man refuses to fight at first. Number five was IP Man 3, and then number six was Roadhouse.
Hell yeah, Roadhouse. It falls right in the same wheelhouse, which is another episode that you
that
came
was
here
I was
to
on.
Do.
Right. So I'm like, this is meant to fucking be. All right.
Can I name an awesome name for a good action movie?
Yes.
Called Roundhouse Revenge.
Okay.
Roadhouse Part 2. So.
Oh, Roundhouse yeah. Revenge.
Starring
I'm still
John
waiting.
Claude Van Damme as...
did you hear, like, I did this as a bit when you guys, I think, were on, is that they were... I did a bit that said, I'm just waiting for the all-female reboot of Roadhouse. Right?
Oh.
That was a joke that I did. Did you know that was actually... planning that was going to be a thing like 2 or 3 years ago.
No shit.
They were talking about rebooting Roadhouse.
I'd
all
watch it.
Female. Can you guess the lady that they were going to choose to be the lead, the Patrick Swayze of this film? Yes, it was Ronda
yes.
Rousey.
Ronda Rousey. That
they
would
picked
have been
Ronda Rousey.
Rowdy Roddy Rousey.
Rowdy Ronda Rousey was picked to do this, and apparently her acting chops were so fucking bad. They watched it. They were like, we can't
Never
even.
Mind.
We can't even. Can you imagine? They're like, we're going to make a fucking dumb action movie. And they were like, all right, bring in Ronda Rousey. And she was so fucking bad. They were like, we can't make an action movie with you. We can't just have you beating people up. We can't even give you like a silent part where you're just somebody that just beats people up. You're that bad. We can't use
she
you.
She was so bad. They were like, we can't even refill the spot for them. She's just ruined the movie altogether. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to know who they were going to use for the Sam Elliott role for that.
Yeah. I was going to go with maybe like Helen
Garrett.
Mirren. Like maybe like Helen Mirren. Ooh, maybe like a real, maybe throw some fucking flannel on a Kathy Bates and then and give her a real good mullet. She's ready to fucking go. I'd be scared of a tough Kathy Bates.
I know, but Wade is hot though. Like
yeah.
for an old man. Just...
We don't want hot. I want Butch. I want her to look like she fucking, I want her to look like she shaves her pussy with a fucking Rambo knife. That's what I want.
Wait, she shaves her pussy?
Yeah, but just like
fucking just weed whacker.
I want it to sound, she does it with just fucking like head shears, just like clink, clink, like that. That's what I want out of my bouncer woman. Okay,
I like it.
So this movie can't be, I guess before we get into it too deep, we kind of need to mention the background story. Well, first of all, this movie actually inspired the video game Mortal Kombat, oddly enough.
No shit.
Bloodsport came out in 1988, and it is the main reason why people Ed Boon and what's his name, Tobias, actually came up with the concept for Mortal Kombat, because they fucking loved the Kumite. Kumite is the main thing in this movie. It is an underground illegal fighting tournament where people fight bare knuckle karate style,
full contact
science of karate. So huge cultural influences as far as the movie Bloodsport goes, but influences that are completely based on lies. Okay,
totally.
So this movie is if you watch to the end, is actually quote unquote, I'm using the air quotes, I know you can't see this, is based on a true story. Okay.
Yeah,
true
yeah.
story of Frank Dukes, who spells his name D-U-X. All right, so Frank Dukes. Now I don't like to go to the end of a film very often, but at the end, this is what it reads, okay? It goes, from 1975 to 1980, Frank W. Dukes fought 329 matches, okay? So in 5 years, okay, for instance, okay, 329. So Floyd Mayweather, who many would consider as the greatest boxer who's ever lived, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, arguably, even if you don't like him as a person, he's undefeated, whatever you're going to say. He's fought about 50 fights.
Yeah.
You understand? 50
yeah.
fights, and this is over like a 20-year career. In 5 years, Frank Dukes fought 329 men. Full contact, bare knuckle sport, and defeated them.
It's so badass, the movie has two artworks for it. When I found it, I was like, wait, there's two blood sports with two different covers.
Can I say... I think it's 100% believable and true. And Eric already explained to me is his 29 different ways of fighting style of his martial arts.
I don't know. When the end of it rolled are you going into all of these statistics, Eric, or are you just going to glaze them and then we'll come back
actually,
to
actually, I was looking up Floyd Mayweather's actual boxing career. Undefeated Floyd Mayweather has, I think, if I'm showing this right, he's only had 20 23 wins, 9 by KO. 26 consecutive fights for world titles. Are you kidding me? I'm just trying to throw it out there. So the best fighter in the world has only fought maybe 50 times. You understand
right,
that?
Right.
And so this guy's fought more than three times. What was it? 50? He's fought 6 times as many times as Floyd Mayweather, but in 5 years. Okay.
Can I say you already gave it away, the reason why he's won every single one of these fights?
Okay.
Is because of his 29 different ways of hitting a man in the crotch and the
dick. Yes. So we haven't gotten into Duck's ninjutsu yet, but that's coming. So it also goes on to say that he retired undefeated as the world heavyweight full contact kumite champion. Okay. Mr. Duke still holds 4 world records at the time of this filming. And I know you guys can't see. I'm using air quotes when I say Zay's Kumite champion for world records, okay? Fastest KO in 3.2 seconds.
Uh-huh.
Fastest punch in 0.12 seconds.
Uh-huh.
Fastest kick, 72 miles per hour.
Now, wait, don't they use the metric system over there?
I don't know.
Keep going.
This is my favorite.
What is time in metric time?
This is my favorite, though. Most consecutive KOs in a single tournament, 56. So you have to understand, the kumite is supposed to be over 3 days. You're telling me this motherfucker knocked out 56 people in 3 days?
Yeah.
That means...
That's a big-ass tournament alone.
Dude, if you fought 24/7, okay, right? That means on average you're knocking somebody out, right? That's 72 hours. You're knocking somebody out every 3 hours. You just like bring another one up. I got to knock somebody out. Pow!
So
every hour and a half, you had to knock somebody out.
So Eric, there was one more stat that you did not catch.
Okay.
And I logged it here, and it's he had the world record for the fastest premature ejaculation, which was 4.5 seconds.
I've beaten that. He's not a world record holder anymore. That is not true.
Does it count if you haven't touched the woman yet?
Yeah.
That's great.
I'm sorry, I'm already finished.
Oh, man.
All right, fucking Frank Dukes, dude. So yeah, so he's completely based this fantasy of lies. Now, if you guys want to check this out, there's a wonderful 12-minute video you can watch out. This guy, he's called OKI. He calls himself Oki. He has Oki Weird Stories on YouTube.
Great,
and by the way, if you're there,
great video. You can watch
this video. And also, he's the same guy who did a great documentary. YouTube documentary on Dan Ninen, which is a 10 out of 10. That's how I found this video. If you watch the Dan Ninen one, also watch this one about Frank Dukes, because I learned a lot of bullshit about Frank Dukes from this video.
Dude,
it's so good.
When I hit the end of the movie and I was seeing all these statistics, I was like, you've got to be shitting me. This is a true story? Like, there's no fucking way. Like, they're just fucking with us now.
And
I was going to start doing some more recon and dig into this Frank Dukes character, and then you sent me that 12-minute video, and I'm like, oh my God, this is everything that I was questioning and thinking about. So it hit home runs.
So
why do you guys think that this is so unbelievable? He has 29 different styles of punching you in the dick and balls. To me, it's like, oh, here's how the fight goes. Guy gets punched in the dick and balls. The fight is over. It's like,
well,
you know,
dude, it has some really good stuff.
So it's totally believable.
If you ever look up Frank, he founded Duke's Ryu Ninjutsu, which was his martial art. Now, I think you have to harken back to the 80s when... Listen, before MMA, if I can thank MMA for anything, as having a lasting impression on people, it was finding out the people that were bullshit martial artists. You understand? Because there is... ever since I actually started doing research for this episode, I fell into a YouTube hole of fake martial artists from the 80s, and it is so many people like who just made a name for themselves, got in with the Navy SEALs, got in with like police departments saying, no, I know the best form of self-defense, and Frank Dukes was one of these guys that capitalized on like this 80s, a lot of it has to do with like the fame of movies like The Karate Kid and Bloodsport, where they came back stateside and like this mysticism from the East of like, these are the best fighters that have ever existed. I'm a white dude with a mullet that knows the secrets, right? And they started dojos
and
would just teach people wrong shit that doesn't work. And thank God to MMA, because MMA, when MMA came out, where this is like, this is a broad set of rules where people who know holding, who know wrestling, who know submissions, who know how to do karate, who know Muay Thai, can all meet, and it's rule set that we've all agreed on. And these guys got fucking clowned out of the fucking business right as soon as like the mid 90s hit, and it has been a blessing beyond blessing.
Right.
But like, if you go in and just search like these fake martial artists, Frank Dukes is near the top
the tippy
of the
top.
List. Hey, dude,
Stolen Valor
really
was right there up with it with his entourage of little tricks and bags of smoke and mirrors.
Oh yeah, well Frank Dukes claims that he worked for the Navy SEALs, that he was a former Navy SEAL. He was never a Navy SEAL. His military thing was his military record was sealed. He was part of the military. He was not a Navy SEAL. Wow. He never went to any of the places that he said he went to.
Didn't he get the what was the award he got?
He said at one
not
time,
the Purple Heart, but the
Congressional Medal
of Honor
that was awarded to him by the president never actually happened.
And then the trophy that he received for winning the underground tournament, which there's a receipt that he actually bought it.
Yes. There's a picture of him holding this Kumite tournament, which is literally some guy in California who wrote a post. Who's like, no, I made that trophy. He bought it from me. And that is not, the Kumite isn't real. Nobody's ever vouched for the Kumite being a real thing. Nobody's come forward and like, oh yeah, I did the Kumite as well. Nobody did. This is just a completely made up, fabricated story from Frank Dukes, which is, God bless him, I kind of respect him. I respect the hustle out of him, because you made yourself a fucking star off of nothing but pure lies. And I the part of me, I kind of respect it. I kind of respect the game, okay?
And now he's pals with freaking JCVD?
Yeah, Jean-Claude Van Damme. The best part is that Jean-Claude Van Damme actually fucking trained with Frank Dukes for this movie, and he said it was the hardest training he's ever been through. So Jean-Claude Van Damme, who's actually had studied the martial arts, went to go to Frank Dukes, and we'll get into this part of the movie about the training montage, but that's a legit thing that the Black Dragon Society, this basically fake martial arts place.
Sounds racist right away.
Yeah, the Black Martial Arts, they would do things like, oh, we're just going to beat the shit out of you with a kendo stick, so you toughen up. Like, that was part of their training, right? Like, you're like, you could do better. He's like, we do two things here at Duke's Jiu-Jitsu, okay? Two things at Duke's Dojo here. First thing you got to learn, hit for the balls all the time.
Every
you gotta go ball shot after ball shot after ball shot. You know what happens to me? Hey, I'm in the ice cream cone. Oh, look at me. Hey, lady, give me your money bag. Boom, right to the testicles. Guess what's gonna happen? Not a thing. Okay, you're good to go, baby. Right? This was the Frank
and
style.
You know who takes this more serious than anybody?
Who's that?
You've seen those videos of those guys that are in the martial arts where all they do is hit themselves in the crotch.
Right. Over and over.
They're just preparing for Frank Dukes.
Dude, they're like the biggest. They're the biggest thing against the Frank Dukes.
They're the only ones who have a chance to be able to fight
dojo.
Him, so.
I like it. They're like, all right, we're here for tournament day. And they walk up and the guys are just hitting themselves in the crotch with rocks. And the whole Frank Dukes squad goes like,
oh my gosh.
Sensei Dukes? Wait a minute, what are we supposed to do? Their balls are made out of steel. you're like, we're gonna have to go to Plan B. The old poke between the eyes. He opens up the tournament. They immediately do the thing in between the eyes where he blocks it. And they're like, Sensei, I don't know what to do. He's blocked my move.
Did you ever see the original Street Fighter with Chine? What's his name from Kill Bill? Sonny Chiba.
Sonny Chiba.
It was the original Street Fighter from
the '70s. Okay.
I've never seen it. I don't know what you're talking about right now.
It's awesome because he does the most ridiculous things. And the best thing is, there's a scene where this guy is trying to rape a woman, and what does he do when he fights him? He literally rips the guy's dick and balls off. and
once you do that, then they will release their arms, their grip from you, then that's how you escape.
Hey, if you want to stop rape, rip a guy's balls off. Okay. Then we'll see how much you're raping then. Am I right, boys?
And you know how you really go home with it? You take a bite out of it.
Mm, and not to totally,
that's what Scruff McGruff taught me all those years ago.
And not to totally give away the movie, which I will, is at the end when he fights the main bad guy, literally rips the guy's throat out. So
that's so bad.
Throats, balls. Yep.
I think my favorite thing, and I got this from Oki's YouTube video. Again, it's 12 minutes long. You guys should totally watch it. There's a part in the movie where they mention that he gets a katana sword, and this katana sword that he wins at the end of the tournament, it's for the Kumite. He said, "Oh, I don't have it anymore because I had to sell it to give it to Cambodia. I had to give it to Cambodian warlords to release slave children."
Did I hear it wrong? Did he actually call it a Hanzo sword?
No, it was not a Hattori Hanzo sword. No,
but what did he call it then? He's like, you have to earn a Hanzo sword.
You have to earn it.
You just have to earn it.
You can't take it.
It's a Kumite. You have to earn a katana sword. No, it was a katana
sword. You have to
sword.
Earn it just like the brim of your baseball cap. Because I didn't jump the gun on that, did I?
Good thing he didn't take off his nose.
So, listen, what we're really trying to lay out is that Frank Dukes, huge piece of shit. Don't believe any. Take everything that we're saying right now is not factual at all. He's been proven to be a fraud over and over again. You can look him up online. There's generals and stuff. There's people from like the. He's at times said he was a Mossad asset, which is if you're not familiar with what Mossad is like the CIA version. Basically the CIA for Israel. He said that he was a Mossad agent. Everybody has disavowed him. They were like, no, that's not right. This is not, we don't know who Frank Dukes is.
Bullshit.
And he immediately has always said, he was like, well, of course, they're secret agencies. Of course they would just say that because they got to protect themselves. You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
Didn't they also write about him in Time Life that he also killed a man just for snoring?
That is true. That is accurate, actually. That guy, R.I.P. Z's McFarland. He never saw it coming.
I still am in shock from the factoids that came up at the end. And I just was like, whoa, 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 whoa. And then I paused it to read. And then I'm like, I wrote it all down because I wanted to have it at fingertips here. And I figured it was going to be like one little screen of text.
Yeah, yeah.
And then another screen of text came up. And I was like, Jesus Christ. And I'm like, writing it down. I was like, there can't be any more. And then another screen. I think there were four screens of text that came up about the facts behind this whole thing, which made me go, this is bullshit.
Yes. I love how much bullshit it is, though. Listen,
I'm Henry Silva. Bullshit or not.
I mean, the bigger thing to think about is the fact that Jean-Claude Van Damme worked with Frank Dukes for like three more movies after that. He respected Frank Dukes.
Yeah.
So it was like, no, Frank Dukes is legit badass. He's legit badass. He cannot fuck. You don't fuck with Frank Dukes. He will knock you out like that.
He'll punch you in the fucking balls.
Which is funny because like this guy, like he... Fucking Jean-Claude was a legit kickboxer. He used to do kickboxing tournaments. He had some real martial arts skills. And this guy was such a fucking charlatan that he believed, like, some guy who actually knew martial arts was like, yeah, Frank Dukes, he's the baddest ass person because he beat me with kendo stick for 4 days.
And put me on the rack and stretched me.
he pulled my legs apart because I could not do splits before this movie.
Well, Jean-Claude might have been a great fighter before he met Frank Dukes. But would he have ever been able to do his split and then punch a guy in the nuts without Frank Dukes?
That's true.
I mean, come on.
That's choreography.
No,
that's
because
choreography.
That is highly technical moves right there. Highly technical.
So, if anything, listen, Frank Dukes is responsible for multiple movies. This one and a Lionheart as well, which is another
doozy.
JCVD classic we might get into.
My other favorite Frank Dukes is called The Big Lebowski, where you slide under the legs while punching the balls going under the legs, like in in the dream sequence of the bowling. So
didn't he do that in Dumb and Dumber too? Where he slid down and he's like, and then he's like, and he's like eats his nuts.
Well, I think what we have to realize is that between the influx of martial arts movies that came out in the 80s and also like the 70s, where there were these tons of like great kung fu movies that came out. Like, I love kung fu movies. Listen, without kung fu movies like Clan of the White Lotus, the 36 Chambers, the Wu-Tang Clan, all that shit, like, brought so much culture to America that it gets to a point where you want... No, really. I mean, honest to God, like, all those movies, like the 36 Chambers, all those fucking old school...
What about Drunken Wu-Tang with Ratman and his little bike?
Dude,
little
cars. I fucking love all those movies. I watched most of those films. They inspired the rap music, obviously, the Wu-Tang Clan. They inspired us as a nation to want this to be real. And all these hucksters really did from the 80s that set up these fake dojos was provide a service and filled the market for what had already been created in the East. Because if you watch fucking The Legend of the Black Lotus, which is probably my favorite, or the White Lotus Clan movie, there's a scene in the White Lotus movie where these two guys are fighting like this dude who looks like he's from Kill Bill with like a long ass fucking beard. Uh-huh. And there, I recorded it on my Facebook like I don't know, a year or two ago. And there's like a scene where like the guy is just under, one guy's fighting up top doing like these jump kicks at him, and the other guy's underneath just going hey, yeah, 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 and just doing fucking unloading punches on the guy's groin like this, but his dick is too strong that like none of them are affecting
it
him.
Does it do
like
a thing.
Oh, it's so strong.
Is his penis actually fighting the other fist?
So, yes, yeah. So like Frank Dukes just saw the like the White Lotus Clan, and he was just like, I was like, you know, I'm gonna be the dick punch master. Yeah. Right? Like, maybe this guy just didn't know how to punch a dick, am I right? And the best thing you need to do, you gotta grab it till you rupture it. That's how you know you did the deed, baby.
And then I'm gonna name it after myself.
Yes, Ducks Ninjutsu for the win, baby.
Dukes Ninjutsu.
I'm gonna totally agree with you and bring America together and say that yes, less Klan and more Wu-Tang Klan. So
I think that was a tweet I tweeted at the Wu-Tang Clan. They didn't like it, but you know, I tried. So listen, we're already like deep into this episode,
deep,
but we're gonna get
deep.
Started. We're gonna get started with
Balls
the movie.
Deep.
So the movie starts much like the intro of any Street Fighter 2 game. Okay, you get to see the
Fights.
World's fighters all over the map. they have a sumo guy who's fucking fighting. It's like a montage of montages that's showing all these people.
Montage upon montage.
That guy was almost a Oriental Andre the Giant.
Yeah, yeah. They have the one guy from Africa who's jumping on trees like a monkey. I don't think this is racist. I don't think this is any part of this is not racist.
But his,
and then he gets up and his training to train for this fight is he gets up and there's coconuts up there. He
chops
coconuts.
A coconut. And they, no, he doesn't even chop them in half. They explode upon contact.
Oh, God. So, yeah, there's all this. They have people doing Muay Thai and stuff like that. And then we finally get to meet the guy from a very famous actor for the time, Donald Gibb, who plays actually the main guy from Revenge of the Nerds, the giant bully from Revenge
Ogre.
Of the Nerds. Ogre. And we
Which
get to
I've
hear...
Which I've met, by the way.
He plays Ray Jackson, and we get to hear our first little snippet
Nerds!
Of the Kumite.
Jackson, you really going to Hong Kong?
I love anything with full contact. Need a few more scars on my face.
I heard you can get killed at that Kumite.
Only if you fuck up.
Oh, man.
So the stage is already set, boys. The stage is set. So after we meet most of our world fighters there.
Can I say what I tried to remind him about the movie Amazon Women on the Moon, where he plays a pirate in the Pirates of Copyright? I said, hey, look, I brought the Laserdisc, and just like they make fun of Laserdisc in movie, like, dude, I don't remember making that movie. It was so long ago. I was on drugs. So it was great. I think his last thing that he did was the Capital One commercials as the hill people fighters, like, what's in your wallet?
Next, we finally get to meet our protagonist, Frank Dukes, who is a military man. One of a officer comes over to talk to him, says, "You are leaving for Hong Kong, are you?" He's just like, "Yes, I'm leaving for Hong Kong, but I need to take a shower first."
A lot of people compare this to the opening scene in Apocalypse Now.
Very similar. That's exactly
right. They usually say the same thing. Apocalypse Now, that was a great movie. This is really dumb.
Yes.
Can we talk about the producer Newt Arnold at all?
Yeah. Tell me about.
I don't have a lot to say about him, but he's a horrible producer.
I love the
but
fact
he
that
has
his name's Newt.
Newt, and he has a fucking eye patch, and that's all I'm going to say about him.
Yeah, so
a fucking eye patch.
So Newt Arnold, the producer of this film,
his real name is actually Rebecca.
He was an assistant and a director and actor known for The Godfather 2, Blade Runner, and The Abyss. So he's been part of some very famous films, but yes, he wears an eye patch like he's about to kill James Bond.
But if you actually call him Rebecca, he'll say, "My name's not Rebecca. Only my brother calls me Rebecca. My name's Newt."
Okay, good aliens reference,
Newt.
Jeremy. So,
Connie Chung!
There was something I noticed, by the way, as they closed out and wrapped up the opening montage, which had shoddy martial arts in it.
Yes.
And that's when the special... That's where I wanted to come in with the Newt was a terrible producer, because they didn't speed it up. It was filmed and produced at regular speed, so it looked like a couple of people just screwing around with make-believe martial arts, and then they closed out the montage with some dude just sweeping the ring. Like, they swept the ring.
He's just cleaning
like,
up.
There's going to be blood, sweat, and tears on this thing in the next 24 hours, and they're going to sweep it.
So you also get to
It'll
see
show
our
up the blood so much better if it's clean though.
Right.
You also get to see our main bad guy in the opening sequence, who's just breaking ice blocks in his downtime.
Right.
That's Chong Li, not Chun Li from Street Fighter fame, but Chong Li, and that's actually played by Bolo Yang. And Bolo Yang, you might remember from Enter the Dragon, for instance. He's basically, I always called him the swole Asian dude.
Yeah.
He's a fucking jacked bodybuilder looking Asian guy.
How about he's also from about 109 other kung fu movies.
You know, obviously he's in Bloodsport, Double Impact, he's in 1977's Bolo, so many fucking movies. Legacy of the Rage, Lucky Stars, Go to Places, there's an Officer Tuba. Where's the Officer
110
Tuba?
Kung Fu movies he's been
Didn't
in.
Didn't he win the award for best titty flexing?
Yes, he does do so. Listen, before Terry Crews did the little I move my titties every time I'm in places, this guy Bolo Yang was the innovator of that. Okay, look, if anything, he's appropriating
look,
right now.
If there were going to be factoids at the end of this fucking movie, it should be about him.
Yeah.
And the other great thing is he's the only actor in Enter the Dragon that had to be killed, and the only way was with a transmission from a car.
Yeah.
Dropped on top
Pretty
of him.
Pretty badass dude. He's a badass dude. So, this officer is trying to take Frank Dukes to go talk to their commanding officer.
Oh, yeah.
He says he's going to go take a shower.
He turns it
on, slips out the window. Frank Dukes is now on the run because he's that committed to fighting in the Kumite. Have you ever been like, I have to go do this? Like, have you ever been like, you run marathons from time to time, like 5Ks and stuff like that?
Uh-huh.
Have you ever been like they were like, oh, I got to do a dangerous one, and I'm so committed to it that I need to sneak. I need to fucking pull a stealthful mission to be part of it.
Can I do the voiceover for this?
Yeah.
Yes, I had needed a mission for weeks now, and they gave me a mission for my sins.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm Jean-Claude Van Damme.
JCVD. Well, oh, my God. Was that Jean-Claude there?
Yeah, that was horrible. Absolutely bad.
Well, my question is I wonder how disappointed Jean-Claude was when he read the script, and he was, as he was reading into it, like, oh, man, right in the beginning, we're going to have a fucking shower scene.
Yeah.
I'm going to get to show my ass or my body naked. And then he read, and then he escapes before the camera even goes.
Wait,
like,
a minute. What
fuck.
What if we show a single scene of me running nude from the place? Because that is true. Jean-Claude Van Damme gets naked in almost every single one of his movies. Like, I remember the first Jean-Claude Van Damme movie I ever watched. It was Universal Soldier, right?
Me too.
And his ass is so sweaty in it. Like, the level of oily sweat his butt is there. I remember my best friend Sean Laskowitz, shout out, former guest on the show. We came down, we were watching Universal Soldier, and his older brother came in. He was just like, and it was that scene that just came on right when he came in and he saw this, and then he was just like,
watching
and then
Game 4.
And then he looked at us, he was like, oh, so you guys like sweaty butts, huh? And he never let us forget Jean-Claude Van Damme's sweaty butt from that day forward.
All I can remember is I've never even seen Time Cop, but I know in the trailer that he's in a kitchen and he does the split on top of a counter.
Yeah.
Where his butt is so prominent. And I remember seeing him like, that seems vaguely homoerotic.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
There's three things that'll happen in every single Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. One, there's going to be kicks and jump kicks, okay?
Yeah.
Two, he will show you that he can do a split in some way, shape, or form.
Yep.
It gets worked into every one. He was just like, they're like, listen, we got JCVD. We gotta have him do a split. That's what he does, baby, all right? And number three, he will show his asshole to you at one point in the film. Ooh. That's it. He will get fully nude at one point.
Well, he definitely works out.
I don't know if you were going to go down the route where is it the captain that goes to get him and bring him to his superior?
Yeah.
And you were probably going to touch on this, so I apologize if I'm jumping the guns. Mm-hmm. But he goes back to his superior. He runs. He sprints across the campus. And the salutes that are being given throughout this are so hacky. Like, they're just like,
Captain, yeah, right, right.
And he comes in and he's super like hardcore with it to his superior. His superior just kind of waves him off. And he's just like, this is what he says. I'm quoting this. He goes, oh, shit. Hold on. I had it. It slipped away here. He goes, he took off, just like you said. He showered. I waited. He disappeared. Mm. What do you mean he disappeared? 1 minute he was there, the next he wasn't. What is this, fucking Captain Obvious? Like, he got away. What do you mean he got away? And he's like, well, he was there, and then he wasn't. That, by definition, is what it means when somebody's not there.
And that's how the movie, now you see me, now you don't, all started. Yeah.
That's when he got the phone call. We fucked up. He got away.
That we messed up.
Then he was in Hong Kong like that.
Yeah. Overnight. You know, well, not quite, because he makes a pit stop. But if I got to be honest with you, boys,
aren't we really supposed to be buying that Jean-Claude Van Damme is supposed to be American in this movie?
No, I guess
maybe
so.
Maybe he's Scottish.
He's supposed to be an American military man,
which is just.
Doesn't make sense. But
well, honestly, the thing that makes most sense about this film is the fact that it is a canon film. This is a canon film. Of canon films. And I don't know if you've ever seen, Eric, I know we've talked about canon films on the show over
Electric
and over
Boogaloo.
Again. But if you ever look up the documentary about canon films, they were a film studio that produced a shit ton of movies. A lot of these Jean-Claude Van Damme movies, Chuck Norris movies, Charlie Bronson films from the 80s. So, like, really ridiculous action films that don't make sense at all. They were all produced by Canon Films, and the fact that Bloodsport is in this family makes so much sense that a huckster came in and sold this to Canon Films, because Canon Films itself was run by a giant huckster family.
What were all the Bronson movies?
Death
Wish 1 through like 20.
Yeah.
if there were producers of movies that were Jewish, these were number 10 on the Jewish scale.
Oh, yeah. They're straight out of Tel Aviv.
Yes,
Israelis. To give you the best description of Canon Films is they would go and sometimes just make a poster called Death Wish 5 with no script or no anything. It just has Charles Bronson's face. They would go overseas. They were like, we got Charlie Bronson in the film. You know what I'm talking about? They were like, okay, here's $10,000. Okay, that's how they would raise money for the movie.
Right,
they would just make a poster and they were like, okay, well, now we have $500,000. We need to make this fucking movie. Write it now.
Yeah.
Like that. They would just tell people to write it. And then some amazing like gems came out of Canon films that, I mean, they made movies like Masters of the Universe, another horrible movie, but then they also made movies like Breaking, which is actually a fucking iconic movie about breakdancing.
Best, movie about breaking ever.
Yeah.
Look, when you produce that much, the odds are in your favor that something of decency is going to fall out of the bottom.
It's the fact that they were foreigners that made me laugh the most when they in the film they try to get a good actress for their King Solomon film with Richard Chamberlain. So they're like, you get that girl, that stone girl, to play the actress. So
Jeremy likes to reference this almost every episode.
So they say, oh yeah, we got Sharon Stone for like. I know one Sharon Stone. I told you that Stone woman. You mean the woman from Romancing the Stone? You wanted Kathleen Turner.
That's awesome. That's the type of movie producers these guys were. But honestly, guys, we're just reaching the bare surface of the beginning of film. We're already an hour in. This is the end of episode one. This is going to be a two-parter.
It's got to be because we're just scratching the surface.
Where are people going to be able to find you at? Where can people find Big Timing Comedy at?
BigTimingComedy.com is our
home
base.
Other than next week here.
Our home base. I'll be here next week. I'm going to go home, deal with that, and I'll come back.
Yeah.
We have a... I wasn't expecting this. So September, if you go to BigTimingComedy.com, our events page, we have a lot happening in September in a few weeks. We're going to be at Snifters with Mickey Coachella on the first weekend.
Hell yeah, Snifters, shout out.
Snifters in Easton. And then we're at Sully's, we're at Roadie Joe's, we have a live podcast. We're going to have Scott Reardon from 98 Rock.
They do a ton of shit. Where's the website they can find you?
BigTimingComedy.com.
BigTimingComedy.com, not to mention the wonderful podcast, Paco
Got Balls.
Featuring Wendy Townsend. It's a great show. I've been on it multiple
many
times.
Jeremy's been on it.
So check that shit out. It's a great show. I love every time I can go up there and your producer. Or Mike, even though I don't know if I'm welcome back. I feel like on Mike.
Oh no! We all give him shit. He's used to it. That's the way it works.
But I feel like I do it in a way that hurts him more.
Well, it's so bad. Important. It's so bad that we're no longer going to be at his place. You've gotten us kicked out.
Oh yeah, hell yeah!
We're going to have to move. We're going to relocate.
Wow. Where are you guys headed now?
I think we're gonna move to Wendy's basement at her new crib.
Ooh, okay.
So there's like
a nice little
theater area in
there.
That's
one way to make sure that she's available for every episode.
It is. But if not, we'll be in her house without her there.
You can catch all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Eric with a K, comedy with a C. By the way, my comedy special is almost done. It's actually going to be dropping sometime this fall. I'm very happy with the product. So check that out. There's going to be a small monetary donation you're going to have to make to see it. But I hope that you do. It's going to be, like I said, I'm going to price it nice. Like
$1 million.
It's going to be like in the $2 to $5 range. You can catch the second Saturday Shit Show, which is free every second Saturday of the month at the Auto Bar, hosted by Mike Quinlan and Kimberly Callahan. Check that shit out. Die Laughing Productions for all the murder mystery shit. Jeremy, take us out.
How many people had I killed already? I can't even count.